Hey, this is Ryan Rogers, and I'm the pastor at the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope that this message gives you a glimpse of how beautiful our God is.
So, we started last week with Forward on Our Knees and listened to two really great presentations. And I don't know if anyone else here had this thought, but when the pastor was sharing the story of his daughter walking around on her knees or crawling around on her knees, and she went out on the deck, got splinters in her knees, and I thought, man, isn't it a lot easier to walk? We are not naturally humble. So in life, being on our knees doesn't come naturally. In James 5:13, it says, if you are cheerful, sing songs of praise. If you are suffering, you should pray. I think a lot of our talks on prayer have centered around suffering or loss or pain, and that seems to be kind of a theme for 2020. Often, we are walking along in life when out of nowhere, life comes out and whacks us and knocks us down. Thank you, Coralie. She was looking forward to that. We are walking along, minding our own business, and life comes out and whack. So that illuminates to me man's illusion of self-sufficiency versus reality. I think we really want to be self-sufficient. We don't really often want to be humble. When our lives are agreeable, we often do not feel a need to surrender or change anything. I don't know if you've ever heard the song by Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel. Anyways, it's a country song. She's driving along and everything's going great, right? The road's dry, her life's wonderful, and then she starts singing Jesus Take the Wheel. Or is that not how it went? I think she hits a patch of ice and everything's gone really bad, and that's when she says, Jesus, take the wheel. We often regard God as an airman regards his parachute. We're glad it's there and it's for emergency use, but we hope we don't have to use it, at least not yet. So pain shatters the illusion that all is well in our lives. And I think all of us, in our own ways, have experienced pain throughout our life. Did 2020 shatter your illusion that all is well? I think I already knew that the world was not a good place. But in our own little bubble here in Alaska, in our privileged part of the United States, we didn't really experience a lot of the hardships that people in the other parts of the world regularly experience. I know this church has had a lot of hurting people in it during 2020. People experienced job loss, health, a loss of freedom, things like we used to take for granted, like singing. I really enjoy singing. I've really missed singing as a congregation. You know, even my mom had COVID at Christmas in 2020. Things have definitely changed. My job, I still have the same job, but the way I do my job has definitely changed. So in life, we have two motivators. If you boil it down, there's to its essence, there's fear and love. I think a lot of times because of our lack of humility and our desire to be self-sufficient, fear will lead us to God. Both can drive us to God, love, but we often, when bad things happen, we go to God. You know, part of the Christian life is the daily death or surrender of our will to God. It's not just a one-time thing where you say, you know, you're baptized. For me, I was baptized in this tank when I was 12 or 13 years old, but I've had to surrender and die to self and many times since then. In the world as we know it, as C.S. Lewis puts it, the problem is now to recover this self-surrender. We are not merely imperfect creatures who must be improved. we are rebels who must lay down our arms. So a question I had in regard to this is, who is on the throne of your heart? We often think it's God, but I think we often subconsciously kick God out of the driver's seat every day. And so the surrender of a self-will inflamed and swollen with years of usurpation, which the definition of usurpation is on the screen, an act of wrongful or illegal encroachment, illegal seizure and occupation of a throne. I think there's always a power struggle in our life. Sometimes we don't even know about it, where there's areas that maybe aren't where they should be with God. I want to tell you about an abrupt loss that happened in my life very recently. Some of you here might actually know about it. As 2020 was ending, I was very excited to usher in a new year, 2021. We had a group of friends, some of you here were there, over to our house for New Year's, got a whole bunch of fireworks, sparklers for the kids. And right before we went outside and started lighting fireworks and bottle rockets, we had a little, what were you thankful for during 2020 session? And ironically, what I said was, 2020 made me thankful for stability because I'd seen a lot of instability happen in the world. And little did I know that very shortly, a part of my stability was about ready to be taken away from me. So when we started lighting those fireworks off, we had this little dog named Ruger. He's a little Boston Terrier. Somehow he got out and he ran away. Ashley said to me, Joel, Ruger's gone. And I thought, oh, he's with the kids. But we ended up, long story short, we ended up looking for him till 2 a.m. We put out flyers. We've gone to the pound. We've been on Facebook, Craigslist, looking everywhere for him. He's gone. We think somebody took him or he's maybe dead. I wish this story had a happy ending, but as of right now, it doesn't. And a thought I also had concerning loss is if you were a Pharisee, and I told you this story, you'd say, ah, what sin did Joel do to deserve losing his dog? So I think some pains and losses that happen to us can be directly correlated to sins, whether that's abuse because of selfishness, you know, health problems because of, you know, drug or alcohol abuse. Some of the pain humans experience is directly related to sin. But I think the rain does fall on the just and the unjust. And I know I had sin in my life in 2020, but I'm not saying that bad things happen to good people. And we can grow from that. So the primary focus of this, of our life here on earth is soul preparation for the life to come. One day everything we have here will be stripped away. And we should have our treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. So that, when I was preparing for this sermon, right after that happened, you know, that really kind of threw me off quite a bit. That was a tough week. It's still tough to talk about it a little bit. I know compared to some of the people who've experienced some major losses in here, it maybe feels petty to talk about losing your dog. But it, you know, you get attached to the little critters. So what happens when we involuntarily have something taken from us in life? You know, there's times where we can surrender things in life consciously, and some things are not hard to give up. It's not hard for me to give up the desire to tattoo "Only God Can Judge Me" across my forehead, or go to a rodeo and eat rattlesnake. Those aren't things that are difficult for me to not do. But when something is taken from us by life that we didn't really want to give up, The only choice we have is how is our response to it. You know, our characters are shaped by our trials. Rarely is beauty or depth of character obtained by the good, pleasant things in life. So that led me to honesty in prayer, because that's what this is all about, right? This sermon series. As we go through prayer, or when we experience a major loss, there are stages of grief, response to shock or trauma in our life that we go through. And I think it's important to pray through those. We sometimes, when we experience a major loss, we go into denial. It's a self-protection mechanism. We feel angry. We experience depression, shame. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. Frustration. You're angry, you're frustrated, you're sad. Sometimes you blame yourself, you might blame God, you might blame others. I went through every one of these emotions as I was dealing with the loss of Ruger. Anger if somebody stole him, anger at myself, I was sad. I was frustrated that we couldn't find him. So, and then that made me think, surrender what was already taken from you. How do you do that? It's almost like a contradiction, an oxymoron. Like, it almost seems like a twisted joke. But that is something that will bring peace in your life. Sometimes we avoid the whole subject because it's just not comfortable and we don't want to talk about these things. You know, one thing I've experienced is that superficial prayer, especially when it comes to the deep things in life, it won't bring healing. You know, and in my life, there's several times where I've been angry at God because of my circumstances, because of misunderstandings of myself of who God is. But if you're angry at God, tell him that. I believe he can handle that. He already knows what we're feeling inside of our hearts anyways. And our honesty really makes prayer worth it. So another question that I wanted to briefly touch on is, how is your view of yourself and your identity affecting your prayer life, or even lack thereof? In our men's group, we've been reading through a book called The Ancient Paths. And I had a quick note on shame. Shame causes you to want to withdraw and hide. It causes you to want to not communicate with the source of true life. So when you have an identity crisis, AKA you're not viewing yourself as a loved and valued son or daughter of God, shame can separate you. You think of Adam and Eve in the garden and hiding from God. All throughout history, your lives, the Bible, there's a lot of examples of shame separating us from God and breaking that honest communication. So if you're having a hard time in prayer, especially when it comes to a loss or something hard that you're having a hard time going through, one question to ask yourself could be, what is your view of yourself as in your relationship with God? Do you feel value in who you are? This quote kind of sums it up quite a bit. Versus, I made a mistake, or I am a mistake. Shame says you are a mistake. And that's pretty hard to fix. It's a little subconscious mind thing. So the human spirit will not even begin to try to surrender self will as long as all seems well to be with it. To be well with it. I really like the way C.S. Lewis puts this in The Problem with Pain. We can rest contentedly in our sins and in our stupidities, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. No doubt, pain as God's megaphone is a terrible instrument. It may lead to final and unrepented rebellion. but it gives the only opportunity the bad man can have for amendment. It removes the veil. It plants the flag of truth within the fortress of a rebel soul. All must fall from us in the end. Therefore, this is also C.S. Lewis, he, speaking of God, troubles us, warning us in advance of an insufficiency that one day we will have to discover. You know, one thing I've seen in life is one of the things that causes some of the greatest problems in our society is actually pain avoidance. You think of a lot of major drug problems or start because of pain, and it's, you feel empathy. I'm a probation officer. I talk to people who have major opiate addictions, and pain avoidance can lead to some really bad behavior. Not that pain is something that we should want in our life. We shouldn't. We should want to solve it. But the way we deal with our pain is very important. So when it comes to pain in our life, C.S. Lewis also says it in The Problem in Pain. It is a divine humility because it is a poor thing to strike our colors to God when the ship is going down under us. A poor thing to come to him as a last resort, to offer up our own when it is no longer worth keeping. If God were proud, he would hardly have us in such terms. But he is not proud. He stoops to conquer. I don't know how appropriate the analogy is, but if you think of the U.S. Army, it takes young men when they're in the prime of their life, between 18 and 30, and it will not take them if they have disabilities, criminal charges, physical ailments. God will take us no matter what, wherever we are, and that speaks to his character. He's not a proud God. So, as we are humbled by life, and as 2021 is upon us with all the uncertainty going forward, I would like to ask us that we choose to approach God on our knees in the hard times and in the good times. We do tend to focus on the hard times, especially when we're in hard times, but I'd like to, as we go into our time of reflection, to focus on the promises of Psalm 23. So now there will be some music being played, and Psalms 103 will be projected on the screen. That has some very beautiful promises about how God remembers that we are dust, how we'll throw our sins into the deepest parts of the ocean. Something for you to reflect on, his mercy and his love in towards us as we close. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I will close with a short prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this Palmer Church, for our friends and family here, and for your patience, your humility and love as you guide us through this life, as you help us remove the veil of our vanity to see the reality of our dependence on you. Help us to deal with our pain and our losses in ways that will make us better people. And bless us going forward in 2021 and help us to look to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church. Find us online at palmerak.adventistchurch.org and at pastorryanrogers.com.